I'm also going to show you from his sermonette how the Holy Spirit works. On this particular sermon, I never was really satisfied with it. I felt that, I don't know if this is the right subject, maybe I covered part of it. But actually what I could do right now is say ditto and go sit down. But I won't. I'll elaborate a little bit. I'll take his sermonette and I'll elaborate, which tells me that you people needed this sermon on faith. So that's what we'll speak on. The last sermon I gave was from a correspondence course, and the title of it is You Can Make It. It was actually, as I say, during the Holy Days. I always get out the correspondence course on that Holy Day, and the last one was the Feast of Tabernacles. Then I noticed the next one was You Can Make It. So I gave you a sermon last time, and I showed you that President Obama, with his phrase, Yes, you can, wasn't the guy that originated it. The church had originated. Yes, you can make it. And we've had that a long time ago. But the question is, how? How can we make it? In that sermon, I read scripture showing you we have three enemies to overcome. So I'll review a little bit of that sermon to take you into this one. The first one was our human nature. Now, I brought out to the point that I knew before and I sort of forgot. Our human nature is really Satan's nature. When Adam and Eve were put out of the Garden of Eden, from that time till now, Satan has been programming Adam, the human race. So we have, our human nature is basically Satan's nature. He's a prince of the power of the air. And our nature, that carnal mind, that we like to think up our own ideas and how to do things. Adam decided when he was put out of the Garden of Eden to believe that Satan's lie, that we have an immortal soul, and that we would instantaneously become God. Well, man, Adam didn't want to wait until the process, so he took the wrong tree. He decided, with the influence of Satan, and it's come down through the time, that he would decide what is good, what is right, what is wrong, what is sin, what isn't. He decided on the political systems. He decided on our religious systems, on our society, and all this world, as you can see now, more than ever. It was harder for me to understand this in the 50s when I was in my 20s. The world seemed pretty good. And I had a hard time. I've told different people at work this. I had a hard time when Mr. Armstrong would used to say, because of our sins is probably all the problems in the world. And I would look at somebody and I'd say, now because he's lying, how would that affect me and how would that affect the world? But now we see all of our politicians, all of our bankers, everybody is lying. It has spread through to where we do not believe in the Ten Commandments of God. And our whole society is corrupt. And it had to start somewhere. I used to tell on long dresses, you know, we didn't go from the ankles to above the knee overnight. It took from 1900 to the 1960s for that dress to come up just a little bit at a time. And Satan has worked where he has deceived the whole world. Now, the other one that we have to overcome, this world's society with its glitter, its glamour, its status-seeking appeal, which pulls us into this world. God tells us to come out of this world. And we see the process that we're going through. We understand that Satan is the god of this world. And it's easier to see that now than it was when I was young or when God called me into the church. The third one was Satan himself with his deceiving attitude. He's broadcasting his evil thoughts. He's the prince of the power of the air. And it says through his spirit, they have his spirit going through people that are disobedient. And he's still working on you and I. And we need to learn how to overcome that. Then God's word shows us how to defeat these three enemies. And to grow in God's character, we need to put on the armor of God. And that's basically what I covered in the last sermon. But I turn to Ephesians 6, and we'll read one particular verse there. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Now in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we need to put on this armor of God and draw closer to God. We have a spiritual fight. We have to have God's Holy Spirit. It was brought out in the sermonette. We cannot fight Satan without having God's Holy Spirit. Now, exactly how is it possible to continue to overcome? And as I mentioned in the last sermon, I keep talking about we have to put on the character of God. We're going to have the spiritual body of God, but I'm never going to quit talking about this because that's basically what God's calling is what God's purpose is. We have to develop the character of Jesus. When we are made a spirit being, we have to think like Jesus. We have to know we will not rebel, and we have to overcome. And people would ask me then, but Gordon, you keep telling us to do it, but you don't tell us how. Well, I'm going to tell you how by elaborating more on the sermonette. We need to continue to overcome so we can develop this perfect and righteous character of Jesus Christ. This is what we have to have when we have a spiritual body. We have to have Christ's character and God's character. Then we'll be born in the kingdom of God and we'll be in God's family. So those are the three that we have to fight. Now, how can we overcome? What do we need? Can we do it by our own power? And, of course, that was answered in the sermonette. But turn to Romans 8, and let's turn there and look at verse 7. We've went through these verses before, but we need to, maybe it looks like we need to review them again since both of us were inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak on the same subject. Romans 8 and verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So our mind is not subject to the law of God until God's Spirit opens our eyes. Now, we don't always have to have the Holy Spirit. And that was a problem I had when I came into the church. I'd read the literature and it says you can't do it unless you have the Holy Spirit. And I didn't have the Holy Spirit. You had to be baptized to get it. But in Luke 24, at the end of the chapter, it says God opened their eyes to understand the Scripture. God can open people's eyes and they will begin to understand the Scripture. And they can begin to follow it. But you can't really live by the spirit of the law unless you have God's Spirit. You've got to have God's Spirit. And when they say the law is done away with, we'll see that there's no way has it ever been done away with. It magnifies it. The law told me not to commit adultery when I was in my 20s and 30s. When I entered the church, it said, don't even look at another woman lustfully. Well, if you don't do that, you don't commit adultery. You look at your wife, you thank God for your wife, you thank God for the blessings that you have. So the carnal mind now is a mind without God's Spirit. It is a mind with only the spirit of man in it, and it can only understand the things of man. Therefore, it doesn't pay for us to try and convert somebody, which I learned the hard way. It's amazing how many the scriptures you read, and yet you don't want to do them. I tried to convert my wife, and I don't know how many other people I've ever tried to convert, but it didn't work. The only two people that I've ever had effect on, they both asked me the questions. And I refuse the answers. And you know, that works. They ask you again and again, and they get mad at you because you don't tell them. And I've had this experience in the last year or so. But let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2:11, and let's take a quick look at that so we understand and know that we understand what God's Word tells us to do. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says, what man knows is the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God can no man know but by the Spirit of God. If God doesn't open their eyes, they don't have to be baptized and have the Spirit. In Luke 24, in the last chapter, it says, then he opened their eyes to understand. So there was a time that God began to open my eyes to understand in yours. And as I look back and think why, I think it was the reason I remember saying one day, if God created this earth and he made it perfect and he created mankind and he created all of this, he can keep the book right. So I started on a premises, and this is what we have to have. We got to believe that this book is inspired. Even most Protestant ministers and most ministers don't really believe the book is right. If they did, they wouldn't believe that you go to heaven when you die. In fact, I got an interesting thing that was brought up. This is not in my sermon, but it's going to be now. I went to visit Shane in prison. His name is Bill Lilly. Well, I knew him from Muncie. And there's a fellow in church there with him. I mean in prison there with him. And he likes to study about the immortal soul. And he's writing a book on it. And one day he wanted to talk to me. He's talked to different ministers. So I went to visit him, but he only asked me to visit him once. Because I agreed with him. I agreed that you don't have an immortal soul. But one thing I told him that might have been a thing that turned him off. I said, now if you want to preach this, you see that wall over there? Go preach to it. Anything else is useless. Well, he's preaching in there and he's writing this article. And I went to visit Shane about 2 weeks ago. And this person mentioned to him, it said, if you believe in hellfire, if you believe that you go to hell and burn forever, you do not have a savior. And I thought about that, and he said, think about it. What is the penalty of death? What is the penalty? Death, right? Christ died and paid our sins, washed away our sins, and paid the death penalty. He didn't pay the penalty of hellfire. He didn't go to hell and burn forever. He's still not there burning. And he said, that's deep, isn't it? And I said, yeah, that is. I never thought of that. If you believe in the immortal soul, you do not have a Savior because Christ didn't die to save you from hellfire. He didn't go to hellfire. He didn't pay that penalty. The penalty he paid was death. What's our penalty? Death. It's either life or death. In the Garden of Eden, he said, take of the tree of life, eat this, death. And I have people that come in that I have talked religion to, and they come in to me and they tell me they're going to go to hell and burn forever, or somebody will. And I said, but what's the wages of sin? And they say death. I said, what? And in the Garden of Eden, this one guy I'm talking to that used to work for me, I said, if you ate of the tree of life, what if you ate of the tree of knowledge and evil? What's the penalty? He said, death. And I said, now you just quoted two scriptures to me. They know the scripture. They know the penalty is death, except it's hellfire. It's amazing how we can be so programmed and see scripture and know scripture and yet don't believe the scripture. We believed how we're programmed. But here in 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says you cannot understand unless the Spirit of God does that for you. In verse 10, it says, but God has revealed them unto us. He's talking to Christians, the people that he has called and has the Holy Spirit, by his Spirit. That's how powerful that Spirit is that we heard in the sermonette. We only have this knowledge because God revealed it to us. You didn't do it. We have nothing to do with this. I can't do anything without God's Holy Spirit. I don't understand it. I have to have the Spirit. Then in verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. There is a spirit in the world that broadcasts to the people that don't obey and don't see, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. The knowledge we have has been freely given to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. When we think, well, we went to search for God and find it. No. We didn't. God called you. You didn't find God. God chose you. And then in verse 14, but the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot do it without God's Spirit, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned, which basically was brought out in the sermonette. It's through the Holy Spirit. Even what knowledge you and I have, God gave it to us, and it's freely given. So we need God's Spirit. We need faith. But whose faith do you need? Yours or God's? One of the fruits of the Spirit is faith. We won't turn there, but Galatians, it says, is love, joy, peace, and faith. Now, if you think it's your faith, you have to have faith to have salvation. But it's not your faith. You've got to believe in God. And I'm going to quote the scriptures this time. The last sermon I gave, I quoted them real quick because I run out of time. And this is the first time in I don't know how long that I've had a sermon that I didn't have a movie in front of me. And then I have to speed everything up. And then I didn't even realize that today. I thought, well, this sermon isn't too long. And I didn't intend to work it too long because I'm going to have that film in front of me. And then I find out and I get up here, I don't have. That means I can ad-lib more and I can speak more and I can see if I can fulfill the time. Turn to, back to Ephesians 6. And one of these armor of God that we have to put on is in verse 16. Let's see, I better get in Ephesians 6:16. Above all, in other words, you're putting on this armor of God, above all, taking the shield of faith. So it isn't something you have. You have to take this shield of faith, whether you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So through the Holy Spirit, through the faith that's given to us, we can fight these fiery darts of the wicked. This faith comes to us by the Holy Spirit. And verse 12 tells you, and we read it before, it is a spiritual battle. This isn't a battle of flesh and blood. We are fighting Satan. We are fighting the demons. We're fighting the spirit of the world. And you have to have the Spirit of God to do it. It's not your faith that saves you. You have to believe in God. And I'm going to show you some scriptures on this. But the faith that saves you is the faith of Jesus, something he gives you. If it was your faith, it would be works. You would be working up the faith by your own power. And a lot of times we in the world, people think they have the faith. Well, no, it's not your faith. And I'll show you scripture that'll tell you exactly that it's not your faith and it cannot be your faith. And it shows you again the power of the Holy Spirit. And I better not lose page 4, but I'll jump from page 3 to 5. Even Jesus said in John 5:30, let's turn there and see that. John 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. Now, if Jesus couldn't do anything of his own self, neither can you. As I bear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. I'm also show you a verse later on that he had the faith of God. He had the faith that came from God through the Holy Spirit. Christ had no faith in himself, so we cannot have faith in ourselves. We have to be humble and realize the knowledge we have come from God, the faith we have come from God. Romans 5 says the Spirit of God, the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So it's not your love. You can have a human love, which is great. You can have a motherly love for children. You can have love for friends. But the love for mankind has to come from God. So the love has to come from God. The faith has to come from God. The opening of your eyes has to come from God. You are nothing, and neither am I. Let's turn to Romans 3:22. In Romans 3:22, it says, even the righteousness of God. Now, you notice that righteousness is of God. The word of means from. The righteousness that we need is from God. It is of God. And how do we get it? Which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's the faith of Jesus. It's the faith from Jesus unto all men and of all them that believe. Now, we do have to believe. That's where our faith comes in. We have to believe in God. We have to believe in Jesus Christ, and a lot of the Protestant world and the Catholic world do that. But they believe in God. They don't believe the Bible's inspired. The Catholic Church admits, and they know, they say they're the one, you don't live by every word of God, you live by this book plus what the Pope have made. They know that. I'm not saying anything bad about them. They will tell you that. And I got literature that shows that they know it's what they say, it is what it is, and not by the word of God. And they even laugh at Protestants. I got an article at home. It says that the Catholic Church admits and knows they change Sunday, they change Saturday to Sunday. They admit that. Now the Protestant Church says they live by every word of God and they keep Sunday. And this article says the Catholic Church laughs at the Protestant Church because they say they're living by every word of God and they're really living by the Catholic Church. They really know, and the Catholic Church laughs at them. You're not living by the Word of God. They admit there's nowhere in this Bible will you ever find that Saturday was changed to Sunday. It's still Saturday. It's only by the authority of the Catholic Church, which they admit, and I'm not bad-mouthing them. I'm just telling you, this is I got their literature, and it says so. In fact, Bakayoki, he actually went, you know, Seventh-day Adventist, he actually went to the Rome and went in through all their archives and researched it and proved it, and Rome let him do it. He proved it out of their literature, but they didn't mind that. That now this just proves that it's their authority because you keep Sunday because they do. You keep Christmas because they do. You keep Easter because they do. You're not living by the Word of God. So it's interesting when you get in there and you find out that it's not, they admit it. But here it says even the righteousness of God is by the faith of Jesus, but you do have to believe. But you have to believe more than Jesus exists. You have to believe more than God exists. You have to believe this Bible is inspired and that you want to live by everyone. Then God will start to open your eyes. Turn to Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now justified means to be made righteous. You're not made righteous by the works of the law. And if you look through Galatians, it's usually talking about rituals. But you're not made righteous by any works of any law. That isn't what makes you righteous. You're made righteous by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not your faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus. You got to believe in Jesus. That's where your faith comes from. You got to believe in God. But then you have the faith of Jesus that we might be justified, made righteous. And how are we justified? By the faith of Christ, not your faith. And not by any works of any law. So here we see that it's by the faith of Christ that you're made righteous. Now in verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. We have to realize any righteousness that we have is Christ living within us through the power of that Holy Spirit. And again, was brought out in the sermonette. All I'm doing is giving the rest of the sermon that he would have liked to give, but he only had 12 to 15 minutes to do it in. So I'll get to finish your sermon for you. That's going to kill him on his next sermon because he might have liked to have done this on his next sermon. Christ lives in me, and that life which I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's Christ living in you. It's the faith of God in you. And since I have been coming across this, and I have prayed this more in the last few months as I've been working on this overcoming and reading this Bible correspondence course, God, give me the faith. Give me the faith of Jesus. I don't have that faith right now, not the whole faith that Jesus had. If I had that kind of a faith, I could anoint any of you and you'd be healed. But I want the faith of Jesus. And give me that faith when I have trials. It's not my faith that I'm relying upon God. Look at Galatians 3, well, that's 22. I quoted that. No, go to 3:22. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture has concluded, we're all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So we see that faith is given to you. The faith of Jesus is given to you and us because we believe. We have to believe, and then God will give us his faith once he calls us. It has to be given. You don't have that type of faith. You never had that faith on your own. You have to believe in Jesus Christ, You have to believe that the faith is of Jesus. You don't need to turn here, but in Revelation 14:12, it said, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they which keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Now, it shows here we do have to do something. And what do we have to do? In this verse it says you keep the commandments of God. Now, a lot of people say in the New Testament you keep the commandments of Jesus and that they're different. But in the last book it says you keep the commandments of God. So they always come up way to twist the scripture. We have to believe in Jesus Christ, but that does not make us righteous. That does not justify us. We have to have the faith of Jesus, and you should pray for that more often. Pray for more of God's Holy Spirit, because if you're going to have the love of God, you pray for more of His Holy Spirit. Pray for it every day that He'll give you more of His Holy Spirit, that you can have His love, His faith, His knowledge, and His mind. And we have to have that to develop His holy, righteous character. Because our righteousness, I understand this more vividly now than I did years ago, is like filthy rags. When I used to read that, our righteousness like filthy rags, I thought, I'm not that bad. You know, I could give you some things that I've done and I wasn't living too bad a life. No, I had Satan's human nature. I had Satan's nature. And any righteousness I had was self-righteousness. My righteousness now, if I keep the Sabbath and I can keep it holy, is from God. The knowledge I have is from God. This faith comes from God through the Holy Spirit. Now, what else do we have to do? Turn to Acts. We'll go to chapter 5. So now I'm going to go in to show you how are we going to overcome. We have to do something. Number one, up there it says you have to keep the commandments in the book of Revelation. In Acts 5 and verse 32, these scriptures are all review for a lot of us. And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, by whom God has given to them that obey Him. God will not give the Holy Spirit to you unless He sees that you are willing to obey. Once you believe this Bible is inspired, and you are reading it, and you try to overcome in your physical nature, then God will give the Holy Spirit to you so to help you to do this and fight your battles for you. You have to want to obey. You have to desire to obey. You have to be willing to give this body as a living sacrifice. Let's turn to Romans 12. If you want to know what you need to do and what I need to do, here's what God tells you that you need to do. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He wants it to be holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You thought it was hard? God says it's your reasonable service. It's reasonable if you surrender your will to God's will. If you really, truly want to present this body a living sacrifice, and when you come out of this world, you start keeping Saturday instead of Sunday, I was asked to close my business on Sunday. It took me a year from the time the minister visited me, a year later before I could close it. It was business suicide, and I've told you that here before. Now I'm the only guy left in Anderson, Indiana, that has an independent TV service shop, along with the appliance. There is another appliance one. And yet, it was business suicide. But the people that stayed open 6 and 7 days a week are gone. God has to do the blessing. Now, it wasn't easy for me to do it. I mean, it was hard. But I suppose I did it on faith, but I really didn't believe He was going to bless me that much at the time that I did it. But I kept telling Him He had to. So we have these challenges. We have to do something. He has to give us the Holy. We got to be willing to give this body as a living sacrifice. Now I have come to the point, and I want more of the faith of this. When I read that God tells me to do something, do it. It's for my benefit. Even though sometimes my human nature says no, my wife might tell me no, a lot of people might tell me no, but God said so. God said for me to live by every word of God, and he'd bless me. Now, will I have trials? Yes. That's why we have trials. If we live in a perfect society, Satan was number one after God. I mean, how more perfect can you be? Here he is, a cherubim, number one after God, and what did he want? God's throne. Perfect society. Adam and Eve, in a perfect society, you can have all of this, but don't eat of that one tree over there. What did we want? The one thing they couldn't have. So a perfect society doesn't develop holy, righteous character in you. What does? Trials and persecution. When you are put to a challenge, God wants to see, will you do that? Or will you follow what seems righteous to you when God says it's not the thing to do? So you have to come, the more and more you trust God, the more and more it becomes easier. But I still do not have the faith that I want God to give me. And I'm asking him for that every week, to give me his faith. In verse Philippians 2:12, you won't have to turn there, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It tells you you have to work. There's works that we have to do. You have to keep the commandments. You have to obey God. You have to have works. And the next verse after verse 12, though, it says, God which worketh in you, work out your own salvation. How do we do that? With God working in us. We can't even work out our own salvation. The very next scripture tells you that it has to be God working in us. And turn to 2 Peter 1:10. Just showing you that we do have to do things. My wife got upset at me years ago because I was going to get this Bible fixed, and I never did. And I asked you one day, well, where can you send the Bible? And you told me, and I never did. My wife said, I can't give it up long enough. It has a habit of coming apart here. One time I was giving a sermon, a funeral, outside, and the wind blew the pages out of my Bible. I know where to send it because you told me to do so, but I just can't let go of it. I've got it underlined, and I understand a new Bible. I hate to start with a new Bible. I never would find the scriptures. Here I know it's down in the left-hand corner in the book of Galatians. All I got to do is flip and go look for it. But it is still falling apart. In 2 Peter 1:10, it says, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, and if you do these things, you shall never fail. So what I'm stressing now is we have to do things. You know, they say there's no works. A lot of people think that we are trying to earn salvation, and they mainly think that because you keep the Sabbath. Not because you don't lie or steal or cheat. It's because you keep the Sabbath they think you're trying to earn salvation. But we know that the Bible does not teach to keep Sunday. We got to do things. And in James 2:17, and this is one that they don't like to admit to, is James 2:17. Martin Luther, I believe it is, said this book is a book of straw. The book of James is a book of straw. So he didn't even believe in the Word of God. He came out of the Catholic Church. He did not believe in the immortal soul, because I've been researching that. He didn't believe that, but yet he didn't get that across to him. But he said this was a book of straw. It says, even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead. Faith alone can't save you. You have to have works. In verse 18, yes, a man may say, thou hast faith, and that I have works. So we have that. People say they have faith, but you're trying to earn salvation. You have works. What you can tell them is, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Because we keep the Sabbath, it's faith in God's word. And because we keep the Ten Commandments, we're showing that we have the faith. So we show our faith by our works. So we see from Scripture, and many others, scriptures, that the Christian life requires works. And we do not need to be ashamed of it because the Bible says we have to have it. Does this mean we earn in salvation? Well, these are verses you know, but let's turn to Romans and let's show that we do know these verses are here. Turn to Romans chapter 6. And I quoted this a little bit ago. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Then you have to have his faith. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. So we know that we don't earn salvation. But I turn to Ephesians 2:8, and we will cover Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And we believe this. By grace are you saved. Nothing that I can do to earn salvation except surrender my will to God's will and have God give me that Holy Spirit, and then I'll produce works. By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. The faith is a gift of God. We're saved by faith, but it's through Jesus' faith. It's not through our faith. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit and God giving us the faith of Jesus. So we see it is a gift, and we know that everything comes from God. Yet, it's impossible for us to conquer our own human nature. Again, back to the sermonette, it's the power of God. It's impossible for us to put Satan's nature out without the Holy Spirit. We even have that. But even when we have it, it is a struggle. Turn to Romans 7. And look at verse 12. See, it says we're to keep the commandments. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy, just and good. Now what commandment is he talking about? Look at verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? He said, God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, there's any Christian that I would talk to, any Protestant that I'd talk to, if I told him, thou shalt not covet, he would know it come from the Ten Commandments. So we have to keep these commandments. And that law is holy, just, and good. In verse 19, though, Paul said, for the good that I want to do, I can't do. That which I don't want to do, I do do. We've all experienced that situation. But that should become less and less in our life. If you pray for God's Holy Spirit, we should have less problems. But there is a struggle in overcoming that. And then in verse Romans 7, look at verse 19 and then verse 22. And some of these verses I wish I knew better years ago. It says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul said, and people say that Paul did away with the law. Paul, they don't live by Matthew, Mark, and John in the book of Acts. They start with Paul. I've got a guy who works for me. You know, Paul didn't do this. Paul didn't do that. Here Paul says he delighted in the law of God. Well, that isn't doing away with it. He delighted in it after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. We have that in our body. We are in God, Satan's world. We can't live among all these people without having some influence in us. So he's seen that. But he said in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And that's what we believe. Jesus Christ. But he has to be in you. You have to have the faith of Jesus. You have to have that Holy Spirit. And you have to have more of it. In verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. Paul served the law of God. But with the flesh, he followed the law of sin. None of us, if people say, you know, I cannot become perfect. If I could put all sin out of my life, I'd be Jesus Christ. I'm not going to qualify. I'm always going to have to be thankful that I got to rely on God. He's got to forgive me. I can overcome 90% of my sins. 99% of my sins. It won't happen. But if I could, I'd still have to rely on God's mercy for that 1%. And we'll never make it that close to it. But he wanted to know who can deliver him from the body of death. Now, did Paul overcome? Turn to 2 Timothy 4. And look at verse 6. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight." It's a fight till death comes. I will always have to fight my human nature. I will always have to fight Satan and other people trying to get me to do something. One thing I'm awful thankful for, really thankful for is what I should say, is my wife protects me. When somebody comes along and wants us to do something on Friday night, no, Gordon can't do it. Now, if it's something that she wants to do, if a granddaughter is in a play or in something, she might go to it. But she protects me in all ways, and it is, I am so thankful for that. And I wonder if, well, I'm sure all you women do too if you're in the church, but most people that are wives not in the church don't do that much for them. But my wife has finally realized how stubborn I am and that I'm not going to do something different, so she just protects me to start with. They don't come and ask me. Now, a few might. They even forget when my sister died not long ago, they thought I kept Sunday. And that was an interesting experience, and which I'll see if I got time to tell you. My sister died, and they wanted me to speak in it. And I said, well, she has her minister. I'd rather you do it. We don't want to mix, you know, different religions. But her husband really wanted me to say something. I said, okay, I'll get up and say something. Well, he got up. The husband got up first and put my sister in heaven. And then I was to get up second. And I got up and I read 1 Thessalonians 4:16 that comfort each other. I said, I'll see my sister again. I didn't go through that the resurrection and the dead will rise first and then those that are alive will meet them in the air. I just quoted, I don't want you to be, it starts out to have faith in the death that you will see him again. And the last verse said, comfort one another with these words. And I told him that, you know, that I was a minister of Jesus Christ and I'm comforted. I will see my sister again. So we had one guy get up and say she went to heaven, and I didn't say where she went. And the next guy got up, but there was four of us, by the way. One of them was with the hospice, and they wanted him to speak. And the last minister got up, and he quoted 1 Corinthians 15. And he talked about trumpet sounding and the resurrection. And afterwards, I walked up to him, and I said, now, wait a minute, her husband said she went to heaven, and you quoted 1 Corinthians 15. And that's the resurrection chapter. He said, yeah, he said, we don't understand everything that the Bible says. He said, I don't understand the second death either. Oh, what an opportunity, see? But I didn't say nothing. Believe it, I didn't say a word. So we went to church to eat, and we got done eating. I seen the minister sitting by himself. So I went over and talked to him. And in while I was talking to him, he said, well, we don't preach, so we just preach to live a good life today. And then he said, he brought up Ezekiel 37. And I said, well, isn't that a physical resurrection? And he said, yes. And I said, do you think that have anything to do with the second death? And he thought about that a little bit, and he said, I'm going to research that. I said, okay. And when I left, I walked over by him and said, bye. And he said, I'm going to research that. And I sort of been expecting a phone call sometime, but I haven't got it yet. But what a confusion. You know, I didn't want to go into a resurrection because I knew they thought my sister was in heaven, which her husband does. But to have somebody get up and quote 1 Corinthians 15, a resurrection chapter, but he says, oh, we don't know, and everybody's allowed their own belief. So I let it go at that, and we'll see where he goes from it. Now, what is the key to Christian overcoming? Philippians 4:13. And I believe I heard a sermonette man quote this verse. He said he was going to. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. That's how you overcome. Through Christ's Holy Spirit in you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome anything, any sin, any pull, any temptation by Christ that liveth in me. Then in 1 John 4:4, I'll read that to you. It says, you are of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have a greater spirit in us than those that are in the world. Turn to Ephesians 2 and let's see what he's referring to. Ephesians 2, in verse 2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Until God opened our eyes, we walked according to the prince of this world. Even if we was at another church. Now, going to another church, you can't get better. When I went to a church at 19 years old, I smoked, drank, gambled, and I was a normal human being. And then I quit drinking, quit smoking, quit gambling, and you can't improve your life by living by the Word of God without having the Holy Spirit. But when I got the Holy Spirit, I started drinking. Yeah, I thought it was all right to have a drink, and I didn't really start drinking, but I did quit completely, where I did drink and knew a little wine's good for your stomach's sake. But here it says the spirit of the world, according to this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now work in the children of disobedience. You have a spirit in man. Satan's spirit is working with that spirit in man. And until God opens your eyes and gives you his Holy Spirit, and you have God's Spirit working with that Spirit in man, you cannot overcome. In 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in you than that is in the world. So there's a spirit in the world. It's Satan's spirit. When we look at Ephesians 6:16, the armor of God, you have a spiritual battle. You are still being broadcasted by the prince of the power of the air to make you go the other way. Half of the people left the church. And it is really amazing. Mr. Armstrong knew half would leave the church. Aaron Dean says he told him that half of when he dies, half of the people would leave the church. He read the parable that 50%, you know, they let their lamp go out. Mr. Armstrong really lived by the word of God. And he really had the faith of God. And it's knowledge that he's passed on to us. Turn to, I'll read Romans 8:37 to you. In all things we can conquer through him that loved us. So the key to Christian overcoming is the Holy Spirit, is living by the word of God, is asking for the faith, asking for more of his spirit. And there's one place in the Bible that says whatever you pray, God will give you. I have learned from that to pray for more of God's spirit. I don't pray for something out here otherwise. I pray for more God's Spirit that give me the faith of Jesus, and that's the one I've been praying in the last month or two as I've been preparing these sermons. I need the faith of Jesus to withstand any trial that I will come. If I have that faith, I will make it. Turn to John 15. Verses 4 and 5. It says, you abide in me, and I abide in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. We can't do it unless we abide in Jesus Christ. Just like a branch on a vine cannot produce if it isn't hooked up to the vine, we got to be hooked up with Jesus Christ. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can't do anything. So now I can understand more that I have no righteousness. What righteousness I had was self-righteousness. When I wanted something done and I did, a lot of times we do good deeds, what for? To be seen? Yeah. I used to, in the Methodist church, on Christmas, we went and picked a family and we gave food to and everything at the church. Because I was in business and they recognized who I was, next year the same family called me. Are you going to give food? Why do I do it? You do it some to be seen. To now we should not be seen, but we can do nothing unless we have that Holy Spirit, that power that was brought out in the sermonette. We have to have that and we have to have that in us. Now look at John 14:10. He says, Father, in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. So Jesus said that he didn't do the works. The Father that dwelt in him through the Holy Spirit did the works. Christ had the faith of God. We need the faith of Jesus Christ. And it's the same faith that Jesus had. Do we have that kind of faith? Well, my answer is I don't. But I hope to get it. Now, Protestants believe that Christ lived and died for our sins and he kept the law for us. We believe. Now, let me phrase something up. Now, if that was true, if Christ died for our sins, and he did it for us, and we don't have to do anything, if that was true, when we are resurrected, we would still have our old human nature, we would still have Satan's nature, it would still be in us, and we would rebel against God the same way Satan did. We cannot say that Christ lived our life for us. Christ said, I have to live it in you. You have to overcome. You have to surrender your will. You have to do these things. Put out lying and stealing and cheating and all the things that he brings along. We have got to put on the new man. Christ did shed his blood for our sins. He wiped away our past sins. He died. This is in Romans. He reconciled us to God the Father because we have been cut off from God the Father until Christ was died. And God resurrected Christ so we could have life. And the reason we want that, so we could be accomplished by him, sitting on the right hand of God, that he would send us his Holy Spirit so Christ could live his life in us, to help us put sin out of our lives, and to bring every thought of our mind in obedience to God. We can do what Adam could have done if he took of the tree of life. But we have to have that Holy Spirit. Now turn to Romans 8. And verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, if you follow your old carnal nature, and you are not putting out these sins, you shall die. Not burn in hell forever, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. How do we kill? How do we mortify the deeds of the body? Through God's Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. We are nothing. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. We have to say the same thing Jesus Christ said. We got to have his Spirit. We got to have his faith. We got to have his love. We got to let Christ live in us. We got to read the book. We got to study the book. We got to have the mind of God. You mortify these deeds by the Holy Spirit and not by yourself. Now turn to Colossians 3:4. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. So here, look how many times, and I'm working with somebody on this immortal soul subject. If you believe you have an immortal soul, and you believe that you die, and you either go to heaven or hell, you never look for the second coming of Christ. You have no reason to, because you're in heaven. when you die. Everybody else is burning, and those that are alive are going to suffer. You don't have to look for it. But since I know I'm going to go to my grave, now I want to look at the second resurrection because I don't want to stay in that grave. I am saved, but I'm not saved until Christ comes and resurrects me out of that grave. So here he said, Paul was looking, you shall also appear with him in glory. Philippians, that this vile body will be changed like to his glorious body. That you will have a body like Jesus Christ. You also have the character of Jesus Christ at that time, because he knows he can give you complete character because you did overcome, you did fight, you did go through the struggles. He knows that you will not submit to Satan 100% and that you will follow Jesus Christ. And look at verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Here again, he's telling you, you have to mortify these members. Fornication, covetousness, adultery. Look at verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God come on the children of disobedience. God is coming and pouring out the wrath of God on this world because they put the Ten Commandments out of everything that we know politically. They're not teaching the Ten Commandments. Everybody can make their own rule. God is going to come and pour the wrath, and then man will learn. When God resurrects man in the second resurrection and shows them 1,000 years of utopia, shows them what it was, the way Satan did it, men will finally learn. In verse 7, in which you also walk sometimes in them, when you lived in them. This is the way you lived before. You better not be living that way now. But now you are also put off all these things. Are we supposed to do anything? It says in Colossians, put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another. One of the Ten Commandments, don't lie to each other. Put off all the old man and his deeds. And look at verse 10. And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. And what's it say in Romans 12? Give this body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, by renewing your mind. Reading the book. Asking God to show you through the Holy Spirit. Put on this new man, which renewed in knowledge, and this is real important, the last part, after the image of him that created him. We are to be renewed in knowledge after God's image. In Genesis, he said, I make man in my likeness. Let us make man in our likeness and our image. God has a body like we have right now. He's going to give us a spiritual body. Just like Jesus had and like we will have. And when he gives it that spiritual body, we will be renewed in knowledge after the image. Our character will be like God's. We will be a spirit being with the mind of God, the character of God, and that's what's got to be developed in you. Christ can't come and do everything for me, and all I got to do is believe. If that's the case, I'd be resurrected. I would not overcome anything. And I'd still be rebellious. When we are born in the kingdom of God, we will not rebel. And God will approve in that. Because during this life, you did not rebel when all the trials and the persecutions and different things had come upon you. So, you can overcome. Yes, you can. But how? By faith and by works. Can you do it on your own? Nope. With this, you just have to have the spirit. Can you do it on your own with just the spirit of man in you? Nope. By your faith? Can you do it by your faith and your works? No. You need the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can mortify the deeds of your body. You can put on the new man. You can put off the old man. The works we do will be done by the Holy Spirit. We also need the faith of Jesus. We have to have faith in him, which we all do. And a lot of people have faith and believe in God, but they don't believe the Bible is inspired. They don't believe they have to surrender to every word of God. We have to believe God exists and this Bible is inspired. Then we can receive and we can surrender our will to his will and have the faith of Jesus. So what we need to do, and what I am doing, and I encourage you to do, is ask for God for more of his Holy Spirit. So you can mortify any deeds that you have left in your body. And then I'm asking him constantly, and I encourage you to do it. Give me the faith of Jesus.